From the land of the free and the home of the Chiefs, this is the Locked On Chiefs podcast.
Welcome back to Locked On Chiefs, folks. After a weekend of reflection, we're back for Monday. Have to take another look at what happened against those Chargers, where the Chiefs are and where they go from here. A couple of things still going on as we record on Sunday evening, so we'll take a look at that here in a little bit. But plenty of topics, plenty of things to look at. If you haven't checked out all of Chris's work on either Chiefs Digest or on Locked On Chiefs, make sure you do that. And you know, I'll have something on RGR here up sooner in the week this week. So man, so many takeaways. Where should we start?
Oh man, do we have to?
Yeah, we probably do.
Yeah. Rough game really to look back at and reflect on now. I still have the same feeling that I had when we recorded right after the game. Kansas City lost this game. Their offense lost it for them. Defense did play a part, but you can't expect them to do more than they've done all season. You know, Eric Berry coming back really helped in the first half, and he wasn't able to play in the second half. So, maybe him being there will help them, moving forward, but, you know, it is what it is. You got to move on right now. They're still sitting in first place in the AFC.
Yeah. And I'm glad you bring up Barry, because I think that was really what turned the tide. When you look at the first half versus the second half, it's pretty stark, to tell you the truth. And I don't feel like whether they had that plan going forward or not, like Eric said, post game, that's one thing, but it again feels to me like a situation where the coaching staff gets to a certain point and feels like they can just shut things down and coast through the rest of the ball game. And unfortunately, and we'll talk to Seth for tomorrow's show, folks, and look at the film, and there are some definite things that stand out. And in that situation, not playing Barry, I thought, was part of that thing where you see Andy kind of take his foot off the gas.
Well, I'm not going to fault him for not playing Barry in the second half. And if you want to, go right ahead, but I understand why they're trying to ease him back in. To me, I think offensively he failed more than he failed on the defensive side of the ball. I don't, you know, him playing Barry would have been good. It could have helped in the second half a little bit, but, you know, offensively, they just didn't get things done. And he definitely took his foot off the gas after getting up 14.
Yeah, for sure. And I'll tell you, we might as well just get right into it too, because I agree with you about the offense, in particular, a few things. If I told you this number, 8.3, what would you think that was?
Unfortunately, I'm guessing it's probably average down, or average distance to go on plays in the after the first two drives.
That could be true. That's not what I was looking at. 8.3 is Damian Williams' yards per carry in the first half.
Okay.
8.3. He got four carries, and that's what he did with them. At the end of the game, he had a total of 10 carries. It's just to the point that it doesn't make any sense when you're doing something that well, and everybody can have the argument they want to have about overall efficiency of passing versus running. But when you're running the ball well like that, it's almost a crime to use it so little in the second half, especially when they weren't playing from behind.
No, and they never were playing from behind. They led 59 minutes and 56 seconds of that game. Overall, there's not a lot that you can really go back and learn from, at least from my perspective in this game for the Chiefs. It is what they've been doing all season long. And until Andy Reid learns that he cannot let the pedal off the gas, they're going to have games like this. And unfortunately, that's the way it is. I hope that he learns from it and then he changes in the playoffs, but I'm not expecting it.
Yeah, there, I mean,
there's going to be
old dog new tricks, right?
Yeah, there's going to be a game in 2 weeks against the Raiders where they can go up 14 to 21 points, and I'm afraid that the game's going to end up being a less than a one score or less than a two score game.
You could absolutely be right.
I just see that. And I don't care that he's best friends with John Gruden. I get that. But the Raiders are a team you should stomp, especially at Arrowhead. And they have nothing to play for at this point, except for to ruin your season.
Yeah. I mean, it is going to be, especially if everybody holds par and can win this week, That comes down to one slip up by the Chiefs and they're in trouble in the division and they fall to the fifth seed. That would just be a shame after the season that they've had. But it also makes the road through the AFC Championship a whole lot harder too. So this is a team that, especially in light of some of these things, they have to stay buckled down. And I, for one, we're going to talk about Seattle here in a couple days, and I've already started looking at it because this is a game they should win on paper, but it's going to be a challenge, especially if they have the mental mistakes by the coaching staff and the players, particularly in the secondary. Things have to get changed in order for them to continue the role that they've been on. And I just want to know how you feel about if they really can learn from this last mistake.
Can they? Yes. Will they? That's up in the air. I think they have the ability to learn from it. The question is whether or not they will. And I don't have a great answer for that right now because their mistakes really haven't changed in a lot of ways. Eric Berry may play more in this Seattle game, and that would be great. But is it going to be enough to make a huge difference? And if I'm Kansas City, the other side of that is why play him all in the first half if you're going to have him play? That's the thing that doesn't make sense to me. If you know you're going to be on a snap count and you want to see him play, you don't put it all in one half. You spread it out. And especially, I mean, that makes it better for the player as well. And then you're also not in a situation where you're throwing a guy like Sorensen or Murray in to a horrible situation to come in and play when they've been cold the entire game so far.
Yeah, and that's significant too. And my first thought was that that's why they didn't want to play Berry in the second half is because he had gotten cold. That downtime, whatever you want to call it, that is where I thought they were going with it. If that's really the cause, I honestly don't know, but I agree with you. Why spend, no time should you feel safe at halftime up 14-7 on a division rival that has every one of your corners, with a guy on him that's 5 inches better.
Well, and not to mention the fact that easily could have been a 14-14 game at half.
Yeah.
And honestly, if I'm Kansas City, I think they would have been in a better position if it was a 14-14 game at half. Because
keep the edge on.
Yep. Because I think they came out, and they did end up scoring it, right after the half. And I'd have to go back and I'd have to watch the last drive where they scored a touchdown. But I'm not so sure that, they weren't. And don't get me wrong, the officials were probably right in most of their calls, but they weren't basically just given a drive at that point. I don't think they earned that last touchdown. 7 penalties on that one drive alone. Their offense really just was not good after that first drive of the second half.
Yeah, folks, we're going to take our first break. We'll come back. We'll talk about what did go right and what the effect was of having Berry on the field.
Are you looking to reach new customers? I could be mentioning your business right now. Podcast listeners are 60% more likely to interact with their sponsors than on web pages or other forms of media. Our demographic is 98% males and offers more opportunities than traditional media audiences. Have your company sponsor this podcast today. Email us at lockedonchiefs@gmail.com. Ever since we started this podcast, people are always asking us for advice. Usually it's which team to bet on every week. And the truth is that we don't know any better than you do. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why we always tell people to check out MyBookie. Trust us, guys. They're the best in the business this season. They've been in business for years. They have great online reviews, and their mobile site is really easy to use. Lay down some cash and win big today. We wouldn't recommend a service to our listeners that hasn't been good to us. That's why we're urging you to check out MyBookie. It's real simple. You win, they pay. They have live in-game betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys, in particular, you can even bet the over-under on fantasy points on a per-player basis. Join right now and MyBookie will match your deposit dollar for dollar, up to $1,000. Use the promo code LOCKEDON25, that's LOCKEDON25, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie online today, that's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON25 when you're creating your account so that you can claim your bonus. MyBookie, You play, you win, you get paid.
So obviously comparing first halves to second, you know, the interceptions came in the first half, the sacks, 4 out of 5 came in the first half. If that doesn't tell you what the presence of Eric Berry, even though he's not in the front seven, if that doesn't give you a clue as to what he brings, both in emotion, in intensity, and being able to help align his secondary, I don't know what other evidence I could give you.
Yeah. It's really hard for me to understand what exactly they were doing and how Skandrick doesn't know where he's supposed to be aligned. It just doesn't make any sense to me.
Yeah, after this long in this defense, I mean, yes, it seems as though it's a complex defense. There's a lot of question marks. And I keep coming back to the fact that players like Fuller, Skandrick's a veteran. Yes, he's not playing that well. He's physically, he's towards the tail of his career. But he's played in multiple defenses. Hitchens has played in multiple defenses. All these guys that are new this season have shown up here, and they haven't all just forgotten how to play good football. So a part of it has to be what they're being told, what they're being asked to do, the terminology, how it's going down. It has to do something from the staff, from Bob Sutton on down to the players.
Yep. And I've been saying that for a couple of weeks. I really do think that Hitchens and Ragland are being misused in this defense. And I think you could even say that about the corners as well. Skandrick isn't good, but he's been serviceable at times. I do think that I'd like to see more of Tre'Mont Smith. And I understand he may not know the entire defense, but you can still get him in there for a play or two and get him some experience.
Yeah, but here's my thing. And I understand where you're coming from. But if the goal is to get him experience, I don't think this is the time to do it. Because, I mean, any serious problems out there, you're talking about losing that first seat. These two games are imperative.
Well, no, not at this point. But I guess where I was going with that is there's been times in different games. In the first Raiders game, they could have played Tre'Mont Smith. They could have brought him in and played him a couple of times. There's different games where Kansas City's been up enough to take a chance and get your players some reps, because Skandrick hasn't been performing great. He's just been doing enough. And honestly, he's been doing enough to not kill you at times, but he's also doing enough to keep the other team alive at times as well.
Yeah, it has been up and down. And he in particular, as I go back and look at the film, and I'll have more of this on RGR, folks, for the film room video this week. There's a time in the first half that Eric Berry is demonstrably trying to get him to do what he's supposed to do. And again, don't know if that's, I doubt that that's something that the Skandrick just can't understand what it is, or he's a bad player now. There's something in the calls or something like that somebody has trouble with. But Berry has been in the system for so long playing for Bob. He obviously is an extension of that call and is able to make the adjustments and force guys to be where they are. I can't help but feel like we saw Skandrick be the problem at the end of the game on the 2-point conversion. Again, a similar situation where whatever that call was, it should have been really straightforward.
What?
A simple banjo call that lets you split. But again, it comes down to if you're going to pick a player that's not getting the handle on it, it's Skandrick, right?
Well, yeah, and they even talked about it right before the snap. I mean, as everybody was getting aligned, you saw them talking to each other. And I'm sorry, you can't convince me that two professionals don't know what's coming or don't have an inkling of what's coming. Skandrick just bit and went the wrong direction. And, you know, honestly, early when they signed Skandrick, you know, if you haven't followed Chiefs Digest very much, maybe you don't know this guy. Reagan Cresswell has helped us out a lot on Chiefs, and he's also written at Chiefs Digest. He's doing a great job. But he talked about Skandrick because he was a fan of the Cowboys and saying that Skandrick had an attitude problem and he just wasn't a good player anymore. And you're seeing that play out this season. I'm not saying it's necessarily the attitude near as much as it is he just doesn't seem to know where he's supposed to be. And if he does know where he's supposed to be and he's not doing it on purpose, then that is attitude and that's a problem.
Yeah, for sure. And I, at this point, getting reps for Tre'Mont Smith. Okay. You know, Ward is another young guy they like, and he had an impressive camp. I'll say that, before he was finally cut, but can you roll with that now? I mean, it's one thing to get them reps, but I don't think that you can pull Skandrick off the field at this point.
Well, you may not be able to, but at the same time, you may not have a choice but to get Smith the reps at this point. We don't know what's going to happen with Fuller. Fuller broke it. Fuller has a fracture in his wrist. It's possible he plays through it. And it'll be taped up and he'll be fine, but we don't know at this point.
Yeah, I have a feeling he will play through it. If he was able to play through the injury, the repair should make him more capable. But that said, I feel like I maybe in light of the injury, I rode him a little hard after the game. Because playing basically with one hand, can't really grip with that cast on. So you can't get a hold of anybody, even when, you know, you're in front of him and you're able to grab something. Difficult to play your game with an injury like that to your hands when you're trying to get your hands on the ball.
Well, and we had no idea at the time that he had that injury either. So to be fair, you know, you can be hard on him all you want, but you know, finding out afterwards he has a broken or he has basically a fracture in his wrist during the game, and you see pictures of it. You see pictures of his cast, and especially on the interception he made of the cast, phenomenal for him to be able to do what he was able to do.
Yeah, that was an impressive catch with that already on there.
And he's a guy that doesn't have the best hands.
You know, we say that, but we used to say that about his brother too. His brother's got like 8 interceptions, I think. So, you know, it's in there somewhere. He's still a young player. You know, you just got to bring that out.
Well, if we're complaining about Fuller's interceptions, I guess that's a hallmark of a good defense, and we can't say we have a good defense right now. So let's take another quick break. And when we come back, let's go ahead and take a quick look at Seattle and what this game means for Kansas City. All right. It is Sunday afternoon. We are recording around 5:00 Central. And right now, I believe Seattle is losing. Yeah, they're still losing to San Francisco right now. They're down a touchdown.
That's an interesting development I didn't see coming.
I didn't see it coming either. Especially with San Francisco not having their quarterback. But, you know, I will say this. It is a divisional game, and you never know in those games.
True. Just like the one we saw last week. But at the same time, I don't like it for the Chiefs because an angry Seahawks team is something to contend with playing at home. And especially, I don't know if you saw the beginning of that game. I did. They came out in a 6 lineman set, and the Chiefs are going to have their hands full trying to stop this run game.
Oh, absolutely. No, and I do believe that they're going to have their hands full going to try to stop this run game. But I will say that a Seattle team that doesn't have any playoff aspirations anymore, which I think would, does this really change their playoff hopes? I was thinking that they were close to being out of it if they don't get this. Yeah, right now they're in the driver's seat at 8-5. They're the first wild card. If they lose this game, I guess they're still in the driver's seat. So I guess maybe they're still having a chance to make the playoffs. So, but a loss makes it a lot harder.
For sure.
So, I mean, they're going to be desperate. What was that?
And provide some motivation on their part.
Yeah. It's not going to be a pretty game. Kansas City needs to come out and be ready to be physical because that's the only way they're going to beat Seattle in Seattle. And honestly, I think, you know, I said this before and I think I'll say it again. They need to go with either a bare front or their base defense in 75% of the snaps.
Yeah.
You see if Russell Wilson can beat your secondary, and more than likely he will, but at the same time, keeping Patrick Mahomes off the field is going to be something that you really don't want to be doing, and that's what Seattle's going to be going after.
True. And, you know, he does have a couple of targets out there. Lockett is always a tough cover, especially for these corners. He's going to be a tough corner cover, I mean. And they got Doug Baldwin back. So what you thought you could load up against the run, you may have to keep one eye on that pass game as well.
No, and I understand. I'm not saying that you can't do anything with that. I'm just saying, you know, the way to beat them is going to be to stop the running game. If they can stop Russell Wilson in the running game, they have a lot better chance, because if they can't stop the running game, then they eat you up for 40 minutes of time of possession. You're going to have a really hard time scoring enough points to win.
Agree. And I think the good thing is that what you saw the Chargers have some success with on some of those four vert type route combinations that they ran, that they did have a lot of success on. That's hard for Seattle and their personnel, especially if they're going to try to bulk up and have that six lineman in there or run the fullback or whatever. So that does make things a little bit different for what the Chiefs will see next week versus last.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And it's going to be, I'm not looking forward to that game. The biggest thing, and I go back to this against the Chargers. If you can get to a point where you don't give them three and outs, if you can get to where you only have maybe one three and out in a game, the Chiefs win that game going away. This is the same type of game against the Seahawks that it was against the Ravens. You cannot afford to go three and out and just have your defense on the field the entire game. You just can't do it. And as we're sitting here watching this at 5:15, Pittsburgh just had a chance to go up two scores and their field goal kicker missed a 38-yard chip shot field goal by 7 or 8 yards to the right. And that's Boswell, who they just signed to a lucrative extension in the offseason.
Ooh, comfort is not a good thing.
Well, that's after he had a horrible week last week. I can't even remember what he did last week, but he was on the hot seat and had a chance to get cut this week. He ended up keeping his job, but that miss really isn't going to help things.
No, probably is not.
So,
well, folks, we're going to wrap it up, but before we go, I want to say a congratulations to Matt Nagy, who got his Bears to a division title in year one.
That's impressive.
I think that it is. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. I don't know that it bodes well for Eric Bieniemy getting, a head coach job anytime soon. I still feel like it's too early, but it's certainly between Doug 1 year and now Matt, a lot of folks are going to come calling.
I would think so. But really the key to it is going to be is can the Kansas City offense find a way to get better than what they've been, because honestly, the last two games, they have not been good. 28 points sounds good, but for what this offense has done, and I talked to a lot of people about this on Twitter. If they score their yearly average of 31 or 35 points or somewhere closer to that, the Chargers never have a chance to come back. But because you score 28, you let them hang around, and that's on the offense. So we will see.
Well, that said, folks, yep, we will be back tomorrow. We'll talk with Seth and we'll have more about this game, how it could have been avoided and what they have to learn from it. Thanks for your time, though, and we will be back tomorrow and we'll talk to you then.
Subscribe to the show on iTunes or Google Play. Follow the show on Twitter at Locked On Chiefs. Check out my work at RGR Football on YouTube, Chris's work on LockedOnChiefs.com, and all of Seth's film analysis at TheAthletic.com. Thanks for listening.